You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Liverpool put in a dominating display with a 4-1 win over Chelsea on the heels of Jurgen Klopp's shock announcement that he's stepping down as Liverpool manager at the end of the season. Manchester United win a wild one at Wolves with their teenage sensation, Kobbie Mainoo scoring the late winner. Manchester City continue to put pressure on league leaders Liverpool with a 3-1 win over Burnley, and Arsenal patiently break down a tight-knit Nottingham Forest defence to win 2-1 at the City Ground. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Okay, Mr. Musto, busy week, midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to start at Anfield yesterday, if I get my days right. A 4-1 win for Liverpool against, say, a bit of a hapless Chelsea, Pochettino's team. What were your sort of thoughts and takeaway, especially in light of the Klopp news, in terms of the Kop and everything around this game? Obviously, now there's a huge spotlight on Jurgen Klopp and the team, and what kind of effect, you know, his words are going to have, Rob. I remember back to the Sir Alex Ferguson days when he sort of said that he was going to retire, and then he had to go back on it because he didn't feel as though things were right in the football club. I think far from that in Liverpool, for, in some respect. Thomas feels like it might be something that even drives him even further.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we haven't had the chance to react to the news, Rob. So I guess as we are summing up this game, I think we can chuck in kind of bits about Jurgen Klopp, Rob. And I think after the game, you know, I looked at that performance, which was stunning from Liverpool. I mean, from start to finish, with the energy, the counter pressing, which he is, of course, very famous for. As soon as they lose the ball, they're straight back. They win the ball back from Chelsea. They didn't really know how to deal with that. It just made me think, Rob, wow, he's walking away from an exciting, young, dynamic Liverpool 2.0 that's getting better, it seems, every single week. So the announcement was such a shock, given what he's built and what he's experiencing. And this is a great example of a Liverpool team that they were improving anyway. Whether the news, the announcement kicked them on even further. Of course, there's a brilliant atmosphere in Anfield, which there often is, but even more so for this game. And I just thought, Rob, that, God, everything that he'd done last year with rejigging the front three, of course, right now, he's without Mo Salah. Diogo Jota, as we've talked many times on this podcast, Rob, is a diamond of a little player. And, of course, last summer, the central midfield area has been totally rebuilt, which is looking better and better every single week. You add that to a back four now that really takes pride in clean sheets and has the advantage of a very hard-working midfield and a high-pressing front line, and you're getting back to what Klopp's famous for with these teams that are so hard to play against. We'll get into him, but the performance of young Conor Bradley, 20 years of age at right back, obviously is a standout, very different to Trent Alexander-Arnold, the way that he plays. But everything, Rob, came together for a performance that just wiped the floor with Chelsea. You had no answer to the energy and the quality of Liverpool.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You've raised a couple of points that kind of were have been thought since the Klopp thing. I look at the game in itself, Rob, in its entirety. If that's a rehearsal of the Carabao Cup coming up, then Chelsea may as well not turn up unless they're going to compete. I kind of wrote it was one of those days where it was an out day for Liverpool. Outclassed them, outthought them, outplayed them, outmaneuvered them. It was just like, you know, the one team that's understanding, very comfortable who they are, understand what they're doing. And it's interesting, Rob, because there's a bit of a contrast in saying that you could say that you know, Jurgen Klopp's developed this 2.0 version in the time that Pep's the Posh has taken over Chelsea. And he's already further down the road. Now, I know there's a lot of good pieces in place that he's had, but he's basically had to build a whole midfield. He's basically redesigned the role for Trent Alexander-Arnold. No, Curran Bradley's come in and done so well, but redefined the role of Trent in the team. So he's had to do his work. But it brings me to the point where I'm kind of thinking, and again, this is just my feel of looking at the situation in the Klopp situation. I think when you play that intense with that much kind of energy, I don't think it's just the team that do that. I think the manager does, Rob. And in some sense, I think it takes it out of him. I think physically, when he's on the side, mentally, and I just wonder if his health is... There's a couple of things that may have come to him that he said, you know, I have to be careful. He has to be careful here. He's still a relatively young man, still got a lot of life to live and family, and I'm sure other things to do. And I just think it kind of feels to me like he does so much in revving this team up and getting everybody out in, the fans and the staff and the players. And I just wonder if it's taking a toll on him, Rob, that he's possibly looked and said, wow, I need to just maybe take a break from this. And whether, you know, the announcement helps or hinders, I think this announcement may be in the best interests of Jurgen Klopp's health, which has to be the most important thing.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he said it himself, Rob, didn't he? He said that my management style is based on energy and drive. Yeah. And he said, when I don't have that anymore, I'm not the right person for the job. So I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you'd think, looking at that, like, wow, that's got to inspire you. That's got to excite you. But I think you're right. I think
that's exactly what Poch wants Chelsea to be, isn't it? Exactly where he wants them to be. That's what he's trying to create in some respects.
Yeah, in some respects. But and this is, you know, the finished article. And I guess for Klopp, Rob, I guess he can rev it. He can keep it together. He can keep that energy going now between now and the end of the season, hoping for great things.
Yeah, all these he knows trophies. He's an end point.
He knows there's an end, which I suppose keeps him going. I think what's obvious is that this is kind of unusual, Rob, isn't it? That a manager of a huge club that comes to an end, whichever way, you don't often get a team like this. Like, we've seen the Arsenal with Arsene Wenger gone over the hill, struggling, hanging on, go. Of course, for Alex Ferguson, they did win a title, but it was the older players. It was a sense that the team was going downhill a little bit. This is different. And this is where, you know, we always talk about the man after the man, because there's the man after Jurgen Klopp normally would be a guy that's going to fail because it's really hard to replace an icon at a club. I just think this could be different because the team is so good. You get the right guy, and I'm sure we'll chat in the next few weeks about that. Xabi Alonso is the big favourite at the moment. Yeah. That the players respond to, respect, there's patience, there's understanding, there's love from the supporters of Liverpool, of course, with Xabi Alonso, for what he's done for the football club. There's no reason why this team can't be as good and as strong, possibly. They lose the club influence, but I'm saying the talent is there for a coach like Xabi Alonso to come into. Now, my understanding is, and we don't see a ton of football in other countries because we're so transfixed with the Premier League, but his football's very different. It's much more about possession. I think it's three at the back. They play through the lines very carefully. So that's different to the heavy metal stuff. So anyway, we shouldn't speculate too much about who's going to be the next manager. But this was really, wow. I thought it was a top-class Liverpool performance. Strong. Yeah. So typical of Klopp that it's not about the silky football. It's about the pressing that wins a ball, that then feeds it to the front players who finish attack and pass, link up in a split second and score or create. And Conor Bradley, the right fullback, had a game. I mean, two assists and a goal himself. It was, I just thought it was a great night and totally outpowered, like you said, Chelsea, Rob. And I don't know if you're ready to switch to Chelsea now and, you know, the problems that the manager might have. I said afterwards, Rob, that we know that there's some talent in the squad, but talent alone is just, it's not enough. No. And I said after the game, you know, Premier League champions, in my experience, I'm sure yours as well, there's been no luxury teams, no luxury players. They've all had to work really hard on both sides of the ball. And as quick as this Chelsea squad can understand that, the better. That it's not just about playing silky football. It's about rolling your sleeves up and fighting and pressing and running back and tracking runners and being first to the ball and winning duels and everything else that you have to do that Liverpool did. That's what he's got to instill in this team. Some mentality, some steel and some work. Some just literal hard work from his team, because that was nowhere near what the Chelsea fans would expect.
And you're right, because, you know, technical and we can have bought ability and promise and potential and all the, you know, nice buzzwords we put around Chelsea. For me, Rob, they're soft. They're a soft team. And I think they lack a bit of spirit and personality.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that like that can't come, but you can have that at 21 years of age. You can have spirit and personality at 21, 22 years of age, Rob. It's not that that doesn't become an age thing. Like, I'm 26 now, I'll take it a bit more serious. I don't like the mix of the match. And it's really interesting. I think the home form, like, I think it's unbeaten in 10 at home, but one win in, I think it's 7 or 8 now away from home. The last away win was like Luton, where I think it was 3-0 up and then Luton came back. They go on the road, Rob. You don't know what you're going to get. No. You look at a team like Liverpool, who are like, you know, just bossed them around like they were kids.
Yeah.
I think Liverpool fans and Liverpool have dodged a bullet from their point of view, missing out on Caicedo, who doesn't look anywhere near the player we saw at Brighton, labouring in the midfield for Chelsea. Mm. Yeah, 28 shots, I believe, the stats said, Rob. 28 shots Liverpool had against the Chelsea team. Mm. You know, and I know Chelsea had arguments about penalties, you know, whether one Gallagher or the Nkunku one. Maybe for me, the Nkunku one looked more likely than the other one. But they shouldn't miss the point here. Liverpool could have had 6 or 7. Nunes himself hit the woodwork four times, once from a penalty. So, you know, could have been a lot harsher. Mm. And he's got to start to find the balance, Rob. This isn't just about the football for Chelsea. I worry less about the football and worry more about the personalities at this football club. I've got to be honest.
And the personality of the manager, Rob, Mauricio Pochettino. Now, everybody, including us, thought it was a really good fit right now with his experience.
Yeah.
It doesn't for me yet, but does the pressure, I mean, I've heard it and I've read it and I've seen it. Like, does the pressure start to mount on Pochettino with a performance like this? Should this squad be higher in the table than they are right now? They're bang halfway, aren't they? 10th place right now with 31 points.
When do
we start pushing the manager, and when I feel the need and you feel the need, we'll do it, Rob. But is it getting close to that point where you're starting to scratch your head a little bit and pointing at the manager? Come on, this, you should be able to get more out of this squad than this.
I think I go back to the time we saw when all the players were coming in and we were talking about, you know, the squad and how long it's going to take him. And I sort of did that, Rob. I did the 2 years. I think we're talking about 12 months from now to making some decision. I think the summer is going to be interesting on who comes, who stays, financial fair play, whether some of the bodies go out. I think the start of next season is going to be key. The first 6 weeks, 2 months of next season is going to be key. And then where they sit around the turn of the year next year, if they're in this position this time next year, Rob, I think he better start to worry. I think he better start packing the boxes up in his office. Because I don't think that they'll put up with that for that much. I think the amount of money that's been spent, the amount of quality that's in the football club, you say they need more. Again, I'll go back to my point. I less worry about the football because I've seen moments of that. I think a striker, I think a couple of things might balance things out. But just the away from home, it's a top six team, you know, when it matters, you know, wherever they go on the road, I'm not just sure they've got that steeliness about them, Rob, that successful teams have to have. Liverpool ain't just a great football team. Man City aren't just great football teams. They've got steel, they've got drive, they've got hunger, they want to win the ball back, they've got killer in them, they get goals, they defend for their life. that takes time. That's who you are. That's inside you. And that's a bit I'm concerned of how Pochettino's going to get that message into these players. And maybe, guess what? Maybe with a group of young players who are earning a lot of money and that, maybe some of that's not as natural as it was maybe back in our day. Maybe that when you're on 100, 150 grand a week and you're playing every week and it doesn't really matter, then you don't take it quite as seriously.
I think some of it is on the manager, Rob. And I'll go back, and I don't want to keep repeating myself. I still, when you talk about the two-year thing, if they don't sign many players in the summer, I mean, the window's just finished, hasn't it? I think it's just closing or about to close.
Just closing up, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't do anything in the summer, I don't see how it does get much better. I just don't. I mean,
well, he's got to sort the striker situation.
Yeah,
the striker situation's got to be sorted.
I mean,
a number nine could make a difference.
Yeah, they're hard to come by. But yeah, I think he needs a striker and a winger.
Yeah,
because there has been signs that through midfield, you know, with Enzo Fernandez and Caicedo and Gallagher and maybe Lavia when he comes in there. You know, you've got Cole Palmer can play as a 10, can play as a wide player. Sterling can give you bits and pieces. They need a striker and another winger. I worry about Badiashile. That he's not the right level. I don't think he's a top six Premier League player. Dizazie, I don't know whether he's a top six Premier League player. Ben Chilwell had a nightmare of a game. Got dragged off, I think it was a half-time. Thiago Silva can't go on forever.
Yeah.
He's like 45, isn't he? I mean, he's an absolute world-class legendary player. Couldn't love him anymore, but he can't go on forever. There's a lot of recruitment that before we start to get to the personality, Rob, and everything else, which you're absolutely right. Just on the side note as well, a lot of that does come from the manager. If you had a wishy-washy manager in charge of McAllister and Jones and Dominic Szoboszlai and Luis Diaz,
maybe they
wouldn't do it. Maybe they look a little bit fancy. It's the manager that drives all that kind of stuff. And again, we're not pointing the finger at Pochettino just yet, because I believe the recruitment has been pretty awful.
I certainly aren't, yeah.
Yeah, so it's something to watch, right? And of course, you know, we'll talk more about Jurgen Klopp and those performances of some of those players. Actually reminds me, I've got to do my underappreciated performer. And again, I often do.
Just want to finish off after,
Sorry, mate. Yeah, let me just get that before I forget about it. Conor Bradley is my underappreciated performer and one to watch, obviously. You know, it's that sort of game. Like, for those who are watching, listening this, you've got to watch him because he's a special player. I just did a little tactics breakdown, breakdown of his main moments in that game. MBC Sports YouTube channel is a place to watch that. And it just shows how he's a good defender, but he's so willing and able and ready to bomb forward. And he's quick. He's really, really quick. And the final ball in, this goal that he scored, you know, underappreciated is a bit of an odd one because he just started playing. He's going to get appreciated pretty quickly, but he's one to watch, you know. And I think a lot of this is for people to kind of, next time they see Liverpool, if you're not a Liverpool fan, he's a right back. Now, Trent Alexander-Arnold is fit. Andy Robertson is fit. They're both fit, but fair play to Klopp. He's going to keep the fullbacks right now because they're playing great. And I don't know whether they will start the next game. And the option that he has now with Conor Bradley is a bona fide right back. He's a proper right back. Which changes everything, by the way, because when Trent plays, he comes into midfield. Mm. That pulls back Robertson, who's a little bit more cautious to go forward because Trent's in a midfield position. You know, if Conor Bradley plays, he's like another Robertson. He's like another Robertson. Good on the ball, good going forward, assists will make things happen, and then you might see more Trent in midfield. So, yeah, I'll end it there, mate, on this game, and my underappreciated of Conor Bradley, some performance.
Well, I've got my little piece of paper here, and my underappreciated was Conor Bradley. It's got a big red line through it.
Oh, sorry.
20 years of age, 5 assists, 4 goals. Was it League One with Bolton last season, Rob? 51 appearances, was player of the year, went in, learnt his trade, and maybe got a bit of that hunger and that desire that maybe we say in Chelsea missing. Sometimes those things can be helpful. Absolutely said the same things. I think he gives Liverpool another option.
Yeah.
There's times you could play Trent in midfield and play him as about maybe against some of the bigger boys when you want to be a little bit more secure.
Yeah.
He's responsible. His teammates respect him, Rob. Mm. They give him the ball. They trust him in possession. Mm. Proper player.
Yeah.
And the reason I sort of went for he would have been my underappreciated, Rob. And I just want to make a note to academies, by the way, just academies that go to work, that get these kids at 10, 11, 12, Man City we've talked about. Liverpool have got a group coming through. And, you know, for all the billions that Chelsea spend, you know, that academy's not a bad place to go. You know, they've had Reece James come through. They've had, you know, some good players coming through. You know, Conor Gallagher's another. Broya's, obviously, looks like he's going out on loan to Fulham. But, you know, we shouldn't forget academies and giving kids a chance. And Conor Bradley's a great example of a young player who might not be appreciated all the time because, you know, big names and Trent Alexander-Arnold and all this, but there's a role for him, and it's, I'm really pleased that Jurgen Klopp thinks that as well. Just before we move on Liverpool, Rob, a couple of things I just wanted to get to because I was just doing my little notes here and things. And do you know, as I look at Liverpool and where we are and just taking like a snapshot of the league to this point is they've got champions' numbers, by the way. They've got champions' numbers, my friend. They've lost one game.
I know.
They've lost one game at Spurs when Diaz scored a goal that wasn't given. They had two men sent off.
I know.
By the way, they were down to nine men. I mean, it's incredible what's happening. So, sort of following on from that, and my other point was McAllister, by the way, Alexis McAllister, who was going to be, and I'm going to do a little breakdown on him this week, Rob, because as a player who's gone in, who's ended up in the six and what he's doing, it's incredible. And part of that revamped midfield that we all didn't quite know how that might look, in maybe not his best position, he's been becoming so important to the team. But part of that, and moving on, there's a quadruple at stake, my friend. There's a quadruple at stake. Now, I think it was 2022. They were in the same position and ended up with the League Cup and FA Cup, Liverpool. Quadruple at stake. Klopp leaving. Liverpool properly revved up at the moment. How many of four is possible or likely?
I think three. I think three are possible and likely.
You think they could do three?
I do. Mm. They're in the League Cup final against Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, they look like they're going to be favourites into that game. I think the FA Cup then will become a big attraction as well later in the season as the rounds go through. Obviously, the Premier League, they're right there. I just think the Europa League, Rob, might be the one that they, you know, it comes back in February. And we know that the likes of Man City, any others?
Yeah, last 16 now.
Yeah, last 16. And that's going to take its toll a little bit. Yeah. And they're in the Europa League knockout stages. I think they might make changes to rest the team ready for the domestic side of things. They've won Champions League under Jurgen Klopp. I don't know whether they're going to, maybe I'm wrong, you know, they're going to keep every player, the best team going. I think they might make changes for that competition, which might mean they at some point bow out of that. But other than that, I mean, they're banging there with all the, you know, all the competitions, obviously. But I think there's one that they might not be quite as 100% motivated would be the Europa League to enable their games in the Premier League in between those games to be absolutely right at it to win and to throw the pressure on Arsenal and probably Manchester City, who's going to be close up there. So I think you're right. I think we're going to get at a great finish. I mean, unless Liverpool's form, Rob, they've got everybody back now, by the way. They're waiting for Mo Salah to come back, of course.
Got a biggest squad now, haven't they? Got options,
everybody's
Rob.
Fit.
They've got options in every area.
So how is their form going to drop off to allow Man City or Arsenal, probably Man City, to really take control of it? I just don't think it will. So I think we've got a race. Mm. We've got a race. And the way that they're going, they're looking with the fans and the whole Klopp thing, I think they got a great chance of winning the Premier League. You said it. We always look at the column of lost games, and they've lost one. Man City have lost three, Arsenal lost four. Historically, if you lose five or six, you know that hasn't happened many times that you go and win the title. They've lost one, so the numbers are looking good, and the way they are with their fitness, they are. And you know, you're kind of you're not into the running just yet, Rob, but you know you're into the second half of the season. No. Everybody's
this next
fit.
Period, yeah. Ooh, this next you're... 6 weeks, six Whoa. Or 8 weeks is massive important.
Yeah, absolutely,
massively important.
Yeah, it's great game. Great.
Yeah,
game.
And they're in good stead. Yeah, in good stead.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World? Like, hey, we came to play. Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. the longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, let's move it to Wolverhampton Wanderers. We're at home to Manchester United. This is the reverse game from beginning of the season, yep. Wasn't it? Remember, we were at Old Trafford, saw Wolves outplay United, concede a goal, and then Onana, which is the first time we saw him, got away with one when a penalty wasn't given. So it was an eventful day at Old Trafford. I mean, geez, Molyneux had it all, didn't it? I mean, I saw, obviously, the broadcast today, you and Tim on with Anna and like you, Rob. I sort of wrote, so, you know, my first 45 minutes, I wrote, that's probably the best I can remember seeing Manchester United, certainly under Ten Hag.
Yep.
That felt a little bit, and there was a great shot, you know, there was a shot of Sir Alex sitting there, I think, up in the stand. And in my head, I was thinking, that's what United used to do, Rob. They used to go out,
take control,
batter you for 20, 25 minutes, go 2-0 up, control the game, and game over. Now, what used to happen back in the day was then they control the match and you couldn't get into it, couldn't get a look. This team don't have that. And probably, I think, like you said in the broadcast, the thing I wrote was, that's a great 45-minute performance. I've yet to see United this season have a 90-minute performance. Yeah. There's been no 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And today was another. Now, today's it's almost a bittersweet one, isn't it? Because it's great to win. It's great to get the goals. McTominay and Mainoo, you know, two young lads who've come through the camp, great.
Back on your academy point, Rob.
Yeah, academy. People coming through the academy.
Three goal scorers come through the academy.
Yeah, absolutely. But lack of control against maybe a different opposition, slightly better opposition, that's got to be a slight worry still for Ten Hag. He's got to take a lot of praise and he deserves some praise. Mm. You know, he made subs and things happened. Mm. And listen, they've ended up winning the games and he's got the 3 points. But more control of matches now, more control, more management of the game when they're in those positions is going to be sort of the next step in the development.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it gets to the point, Rob, where you get like tired of being critical to Manchester United.
Yeah.
So at halftime, I'm like, I'm thinking, That was about as solid a performance.
Give them some praise.
Everything. From defence, they didn't give anything. I think there was a very few shots from Wolves. Excellent. The build-up play was really good. Dalot was sometimes really, really wide, sometimes in midfield. The front players were linking really, really well. Mm. And then the second half, I'm like, just whatever it looks like, whether you go and try and score a third goal and do the same thing, that's great.
Yeah.
If the game changes, which it did, and if Man United have to sit in a little bit and dig in a little bit, that's good as well. Because the control, you can control possession, trying to score another one, or you control by, all right, you have the ball, but we're kind of in control. And they didn't do either. And maybe, I know the manager talked about a few of the players might be a little bit leggy, they've got to find their rhythm again. Maybe that's a reason why he brought off Lisandro Martinez, who definitely improves them. You know, I listened to some quotes today from I think it was... Was it Jamie Carragher talking about his size or height? His height is still not going to be good enough for set pieces. He's still a good defender for me. Still a good defender. And I thought he looked really, really good. Varane was heading balls away.
Good attitude,
And listen, and you know, the penalty, listen, is a bit soft for me. You know, the little clip from Casemiro on Pedro Neto.
It's a modern penalty, penalty. It goes down as the modern penalty.
I'd love to be able to say, if
there's any kind of contact, I'm the same. Not enough contact to take him down, but there's contact. And in the modern day, any contact means it's a penalty kick.
I just I don't know whether Rob, and I'll switch this question to you. I mean, obviously, McTominay sub works well. He comes on and scores to make it 3-1.
Yeah.
But by bringing players to leave at the end, you've got a Maguire and you've got a Johnny Evans. I guess Lisandro Martinez was getting tired. Casemiro's getting tired. I think Rashford came off.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see why.
I think it's easy to jump on this guy, and you know, look who's you know, you got to remember they're two hugely experienced players. Like you say, Martinez coming back, you don't want to overdo him where he might pick a knock up in the next game, not be available. So, I've got to be honest, it makes sort of sense. What doesn't make sense is that when you do that, then you don't readjust, or the players on the pitch don't sort of, you know, take that on and say, OK, maybe we'll just have to defend a little bit deeper because Evans and Maguire are not as quick. And, you know, Wolves have got that threat on the break with Neto and the way they break forward from deep position. So I just would have expected a little bit more on-pitch management, to be honest, Rob. That's the kind of thing. But I think he's... Do you know what? He deserves a little bit of a break, this guy. He gets hammered when he loses. He gets hammered often when he draws. You know, they've lost. They've won today. They've won 4-3. He's found a way in the end. I love the kid. And I wrote this down, Rob. I was watching Cubby Maino. And I'm watching him. And he gets the goal. And the way he runs off, he's very assured. He looks a good, you know, physical specimen. Like he's going to, you know, be a good build. You know who he reminds me of as he was playing? Clarence Seedorf. Do you remember Seedorf? Who could do a bit good and he could pass and he's got good energy and just the way how he punched that ball when it came in. He didn't bend it. He punched it with a little bit of extra power through his thigh, which I thought, ooh, that's a bit special. That's not just like bending it and giving the keeper a chance.
He flipping stabbed
and,
it
and
in
he's
there,
got
didn't
he's
he?
Got these little bits. Yeah, he's got these little bits to his game that are eye openers and very quietly he's becoming a really important part of this group, Rob. I think that I just want to go to one thing on the just before we might move on this one is the Marcus Rashford and that whole situation, Rob. You know, he's been away, he's out on a night he shouldn't be, he doesn't turn up for training. It's another incident that Ten Hag could well do without, in all honesty, of what's going on at the football club. And everybody's looking, you know, with new ownership now, how's he going to handle it? We've seen how he's handled Sancho. Just your thoughts on Rashford and that, Rob. And I mean, he's got his goal today. I thought he looked lively. I thought both wingers looked a threat today. They created chances for Hoyland for the first time. It started to look more like what I'd expect from that group. But the Rashford thing, Rob, where do you stand with it and how Ten Hag dealt with it?
Well, it's disappointing for the Man United fans to read this story. And it was a mistake from him to do what he did. He got sucked in to stay out later and later and later, and it affected his ability to go and train. He called in. We don't know how ill he was, but it had to be dealt with by the manager. I think he got fined for it, left out of the game at the weekend in the FA Cup, and then he's back into the side. I said it before the on the broadcast early on today, Rob, and I just think with Marcus Rashford, he's 26 now. And this time last year, he was late and was dropped on the bench. So he's not a great professional, okay? Now, this is different to his off-the-field stuff, that he's been amazing, got recognised by the royal family. Yeah. He's got an MBE, Marcus Rashford, for helping out people that haven't got much, you know, helped him with the food and everything else. Amazing. It's been a couple of times now his off-the-field discipline's let him down. And I'll go back to his on-field stuff, Rob, that he's an inconsistent player. He's a talented player, and we see it. We saw it today. It's like, I'm not surprised when he bends that ball in beautifully. We're not surprised when he does a little step-overs and comes inside and scores. And we're also not surprised when he's very, very quiet. He has no impact in the game. I just think that Man United have become reliant on a guy that he's not... You know, it seems he's not that good. He's not that good. Good players, top Premier League players. And we've seen them, we've watched them, we've commented on them, we've played against them. Mm. We played against the Man United team of Sir Alex Ferguson in its pomp. And they had talented players like Ryan Giggs and David Beckham and Scholes and all those attacking players that did it every week. Did it every week. Worked back for the side. He did his thing every single game. The expectations were high and he could do it. I just don't think Rashford's that sort of player. He's a really good player. And, you know, and he's an important player right now with the players that they've got. But in a championship-winning Manchester United, I think they won't want to rely on him. There'll be other players that come into the club that will do it week in, week out. I always think of Eden Hazard, another player that was so good for Chelsea every single week. And it sounds harsh, Rob, but that's how I feel. I feel... They shouldn't have to rely on him because he isn't good enough, is maybe the wrong word, but he's not consistent enough at that level to be a champion player. And at 26, I don't know whether he's going to change. No, a different manager can make him more consistent. I think he said last year, Rob, that last year's season was on the back of him being in a much better place mentally. And if it's a mental health thing, of course, you feel for him that if he can't be consistent because of things that is in his head, you feel for him. But is that too harsh, Rob? I'm just trying to say he isn't that top level that the club can rely on every single week. He just hasn't shown us that. It's always been a great season, poor, kind of good, not great, and a champion's got to have more reliability than that.
I agree with the majority of what you say. When we talk about great player, I think he had, I'm saying had actually, as a past tense, he's probably telling me everything, that he had the capacity. He could have been up there, Rob, on ability and goal scoring and a little bit more dedication to his art. He could have been the great. He's got the skills. I mean, he's got stuff, mate, that he can naturally do. I couldn't do it if I was still out there training today.
Of course.
But he's built it. And the thing where I give him a little bit of space is I think, like you say, I'm not sure how mentally strong he is. He doesn't look that kind of guy, and he's talked about some issues there. I don't think he's ever going to be he's 26, but he's kind of a young 26, you know. 26 can go either way. And I just think, however we think, you talked of those great United players who all worked incredibly hard. One, because it was in them, and two, because the guy who was running the ship wouldn't have allowed anything else. I just think Marcus Rashford, at this point in his career, could still have 7 or 8 more great years, and we look back and go, what a great player Marcus Rashford was. Do you know what? He's young enough, Rob. So I didn't go into Premier League till I was 25. And you've still got got another realm of games to change some people's opinions, to give a different thing on his career. Not just that he's done some brilliant work off the field, but he can be a brilliant player on the field. And again, you talked about Jurgen Klopp and some of those Chelsea players with Klopp. I wonder if Rashford was with Jurgen Klopp, whether we'd see a difference.
Probably, whether there would be
a different way, you know. And so, those are just things that I just was thinking about Rashford. And now I just feel like you've just got to get your head down and you've got to put performances in. It's not about what you say. So almost not about what you're doing. He's doing some great work I hope he continues to do that because it's important to a lot of people, certainly in the Manchester area. But his football now has got to be the most important thing that he concentrates on and starts delivering on a regular basis for United.
Just let me finish off with one more point, Rob, as you're talking there. You know, those great sides of Man United as well, when I talk about the Giggs and the Beckhams and everything else, they always had great strikers as well, banging in your 15, 20 goals. Van Nistelrooy, Andy Cole, whoever it was. And again, it goes back to expectations of this guy. A Marcus Rashford that can score, let's say in averages 8, 9, 10. That if there's a striker up there that's banging in the majority of the goals, that becomes a bonus maybe more. And maybe I'm judging him that I want him to be the 20-goal guy or the 15, 20 goals every single season.
Yeah.
If there's a guy that in the team doing it, then maybe the Rashford thing... Maybe he can be part of a champion. Maybe he can be part of a Premier League champion team, given that he's going to chip in with 5 to 10, maybe more. Your striker's going to score and a few others. So maybe it is the expectation and the reliance on him, given that they in other areas they're not getting a lot of goals. So, listen, I'm absolutely fine to be proved wrong over a period of time, and maybe you're right, and maybe when this club now, which will start to move forward, I think pretty quickly with the new backbone of the club, the football department being sorted or starting to get sorted, then maybe he can become that guy. It's just I do get frustrated when I see brilliance, I see some quiet, and then the off-field stuff doesn't happen as well. I hope that didn't come across being too harsh. I just got to say how I feel, and United, if they expect him to be, the fans expect him to be the main man and be consistently, he just hasn't been able to do that. But let's move it on, mate, because we spent a lot of time on that. But bottom line, it was better. It was better for Man United, and when those players back now get a bit more match rhythm, maybe they can be a little bit more kind of 90 minutes performance more than just 45.
Absolutely. Well, you know, United West Ham, home to West Ham at the weekend. So the David Moyes derby returns at the weekend at Old Trafford. Let's do to the other team, the blue half of Manchester. Manchester City at home to Burnley. So I saw the last six Premier League games at home to Burnley for Manchester City. They've scored 23 goals and conceded one. This was another along that route, I'm afraid, where as much as Vincent Kompany got a brilliant reception, as you would expect, well-loved by the manager and all the fans there, his team are a bit short, mate. And they're short against a City team that are just starting to get into gear, I think. Julian Alvarez with a couple of goals, important for him. It was a day when Haaland came back in. They got a few minutes under him. He's going to obviously start to come. Kevin De Bruyne, much more involved. A lovely assist for the a free kick for Alvarez, I think, was his second goal. KDB, I think, is 104 now, Premier League assists. Just get the sense that a lot of the pieces are coming together for Pep and this team at the right time. And, you know, the teams like Burnley, they'll do what they need to do to distinguish them, to move on to, you know, those big games when it matters. You know, the one thing this club know how to do is finish off seasons.
Yeah, you've said it all of there, Rob. And again, this is that window where there's so many games going on at the same time on Tuesday. There's five games on the day.
Yeah.
But you see Erling Haaland being back. You see Kevin De Bruyne. My note on the team sheet when I saw it was pretty much a 40-fit squad now, Man City have got. And and players that will, like De Bruyne, like Erling Haaland, will start to feel sharp to get back into the rhythm of things. And they're in a really good spot. Champions League is around the corner again, the knockout stages, which, of course, I think Pep knows is the most taxing time of the season. And he just gets his players just warmed up nicely for that really difficult run in. So I think we all expected them to beat Burnley. Great for Vincent Kompany, and the respect of him and Pep afterwards was there to see. Mm-hmm. But there was no other result really was there. If it's going to be an open game of football, Burnley versus Man City at the Etihad, then there's only going to be one winner. Rodri's goal, Rob, was again lovely, sweeping side foot. They're looking really, really great. Sorry, I can't give you any more on that. But again, I didn't see all of it with all the other games going on at the same time.
Too much,
yeah.
So a little bit. So I tell you, just as a little mention, Rob, and he hasn't sort of maybe hit headlines, but I think it could be an important. Nunes played next to Rodri in midfield.
I like him.
Interesting, mate. Yeah. Clever, he's a bit more kind of athletic, runs into good spots and you know, brings another dimension to the team that I think could be important. And again, you say, as Pep talks about this time of year, you know, he's let Calvin Phillips go now, so, he's honed in on the players he wants and the group he wants, and Nunes might have a little role to play in certain games. You know, clever little buy, another one who just plug and play, Rob, ready to go. Understands the system. Pep's talked highly of him, and I thought particularly he caught my eye a little bit, and it was only against Burnley. But another important player which is what City seem to have at this time of the year. Important players coming back and you know, helping them take it on to the next step.
Rob, just to follow up real quick on this one with the City with the squad.
Yeah.
Let me just quickly go through the bench on the day. Stefan Ortega, that's played many, many games. Carl Walker, Ruben Diaz, Mateo Kovacic, Erling Haaland, Jack Grealish, Bernardo Silva, Sergio Gomez as a fullback, and Oscar Bob. I mean, that's some bench. That's some bench, by the way, from top to bottom in all areas covered with their... I mean, how they do their injury situation, the medical department, is incredible because they get very, very few injuries. Yeah. And they're stacked, ready to go for this final run in the season with everything going on. Really good.
Yeah. Brentford, I think, next up on the Monday, I think. That's the Monday night football.
Yeah.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's take us to the City Ground, because this has played last two visits, I believe, Arsenal at the City Ground have lost both times. So not a great place for Mikel Arteta and his team to go. And this game, I thought Arsenal had to dig in a little bit to get this done, Robbie. It wasn't one of those, it's a Forest team that are well set up under Nuno now. Played quite deep, certainly in the first half, a bit of a lower block, which we know Arsenal have had a little bit of trouble breaking down. Eventually got the goals in the second half. Jesus scoring one, assisting one for Bukayo Saka. Yeah. Iwobi pulled one back for Forest and made it a little bit. Ray had to come up with a half-decent save late on that managed to make sure they got all three points. But important win, Rob. I thought important goal scoring, Jesus. And just, I've got a little kind of a thought on Jesus and where I am on him. But most important, the 3 points away from home for Arsenal, you know, when they've had to dig a result out.
Yeah, it's interesting. Emil Smith-Rowe played in the midfield role that Kai Havertz is often, that little left side of Declan Rice and Odegaard in there. And the Jesus thing is interesting, true, Rob, and I'll let you go first on that. All I would say is there was, I read an article about him or a quote that he made recently saying that he's actively trying to change his mindset. And that his mindset...
Get out of his head,
in his career has been about almost assisting's more... The assisting's more important to him than scoring.
Yeah.
And I think it's got through to him now, probably through the manager, that you got to change. Like, we need you to be a scorer. We don't need you to look good and link things together, which he's pretty good at. He's got nice feet, and there's some moments where he's flicks and makes clever passes for people to put them in, but we need him to be a scorer. So I think that his goal is so important, because that position is where everybody said that Arsenal are a little short, given the numbers, the return, and Jesus, if it is as easy as that, if it is as easy as changing his mindset and like, I'm not going to get involved in the build-up play, I'm not going to run in the channels so much, because he's always outside the box, way away. And Henri used to do that too, but Henri would come inside and bend it, and mixed it up beautifully, Thierry Henri. Jesus is not at that level, but maybe if you hang around the box a little bit more, Rob, and take more chances, get more scrappy goals, tap-ins, that would make a big difference. Exactly. Is that what you were thinking of with Jesus?
More with him and that, you know, his appetite and his will to do well at times puts him in, you see him at full-back position sometimes. Yeah. He'd be at left-back or right-back tackling the winger and all that. And then you're thinking, well, if we have a counter-attack, you're not going to be there to put the ball in the back of the net. And it was part of my thing where I just feel like he's just got to play to his strengths a little bit. And I like him when he's freer, when it looks like he's playing freer. And like the goal he scores, Rob, is a beautiful goal. And he gets down the side and he just, you know, stings it through Turner's legs in lovely celebration. And I just feel sometimes he gets in his own head and he gets a bit caught up in it. He, you know, starts linking the play and that goes off a bit. And then it affects his whole game. I like him when he's just Jesus. Go and enjoy your football at the top end of the pitch. Mm. You know, remember when he first went to Arsenal, all those little dribbles and combinations and things he was doing, and we were saying, like, God, he's a better footballer than we think. Just feel he's gone away from that a little bit. He's gone a bit kind of robotic, and I don't think that's him at his best.
No, and Saka's scoring again is important for him. Just an important win for Arsenal, and I know there's a zillion Arsenal fans in America. So many of my friends are Arsenal fans. That's such an important win, Rob. And, you know, I was getting to a point where Mikel Arteta gonna have to shake this up a little bit. Like, think about the system of play. Is there a better team in there somewhere? Can you do something differently? Can Trossard play as a false nine with Jesus somewhere else? Or the Kai Havertz thing hasn't really worked out, which was a big call. That was a big call in the summer to spend that amount of money on Kai Havertz. And I got to say, now, that's not really making the team too much better. It's got a few goals, but that's not worked out. And look at their bench, Rob. And it's difficult to compare with Man City's, but Eddie Nketiah, he gets a few goals off the bench. He looks kind of sharp. Kivior's okay. Suarez doesn't really add much. Trossard, like him a lot. Jorginho can add a little bit from midfield. Reece Nelson has a little trick. Kai Havertz is on the bench and Raul Walters. So I just don't know whether the squad depth, Rob, you know, is what might hold them back in challenging for the title. Mm. And that's something they might look to address in the summer, is just to try and, I don't know, get another couple of special players so that some of the guys in the team now might end up being on the bench to come and help in. I just think They need a couple of special players to make the first 11 better, which then pushes a couple of those guys onto the bench, which makes the bench stronger, if you know what I mean. So, but anyway, they won. They won. They're still right there. They're absolutely right there. Same points as Man City.
Huge game coming up, mate, on Sunday as well. They host Liverpool, don't they? Liverpool at the Emirates. I mean, you know, you almost feel like they can't afford to lose that game and really need to win it to have an impact, to stay amongst it. So huge game, and that's when you will be tested, that first 11 of Liverpool and the first 11 of Arsenal. Yeah. Are they on par, or Arsenal just got, have Liverpool just got that little bit more strength and sort of belief in what they do? So yeah, big game coming up for Arsenal, but important 3 points away at the City Ground keeps them up there and still keeps them intact with the top of the table. Okay, mate, let's move to some other results, because we've taken a little time now. Spurs 3, Brentford 2, Brentford going 1-0 up, and then Spurs getting some goals back. Postecoglou made a couple of changes half time. Again, as we know, he's going to be going forward. Udogie gets a goal for fullback Johnson, who came on as a sub. Richarlison's starting to return a few goals, mate. I think that's his eighth Premier League goal of the season before Ivan Toney pulled one back to make it a little bit more interesting. But good win for Spurs and Postecoglou, who, you know, are still in there, Rob. They're still fighting for certainly top four spot. Still fighting for a bit more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, they look. I mean, you look at their games. They look. You're like, oh my, they're going to concede. Like they're so open at times. And Udogie had this weird game where he made two howling mistakes that gifted them goals. He then does great at the other end. The funny thing on this game was darts, wasn't it? The darts celebration. Neil Mopay scores for Brentford, and he goes to the camera and he mimics really James Maddison, who made this dart James celebration, throwing a dartboard, kind of famous, and. It's typical Neil Mopay. Doesn't need to do that. Aggravates everybody. It's James Mopay, Madison pulls him on the way back. Mopay. It's so Mopay, and James Madison kind of grabs him a little bit. We showed that on our highlight. You know, why do you have to do that? And then, of course, Spurs come back and they throw the darts back at him. It's wild. Watching Spurs is wild. It just is. It's just fun watching them. They score a lot. They concede a lot. You never know really what's going to happen. But what a game! And you're absolutely right. They given the way that Villa, and we'll get to Villa next real quick. Didn't play so well. Spurs are right there with a great chance at the top four. I mean, I said that about Villa before the Villa game, where they totally were poor against Newcastle United. Yeah. But no, Spurs are fun. And when Heung-min Son comes back, Richarlison scoring goals, Madison's fit again, Van de Ven's fit again. They got tons of options. Basuma's going to come back into midfield. They're sneaky. And I think as we sit here today, and of course we're probably going to change our mind a million times. I think Villa are going to be in the top four, Rob. Tottenham. I think Tottenham have what it takes. To be that fourth team. Okay.
Eight points above United at the moment.
United, Villa can go again, West possibly.
West Ham.
West Ham.
Villa, Same points as Villa, aren't they? Same game, same points as Villa. So that might be the shootout for the... for that spare place. Okay, mate, let's move it to talk about Villa Park. Game we saw, didn't we? The reverse game at Newcastle, where Newcastle ran all over Aston Villa up at St James's and kind of did a similar thing, actually, at Villa Park, which I thought was a real off day for Unai Emery and his team. But I thought it was a real kind of shot in the arm for Eddie, and he's been under a little bit of pressure and talk about players leaving and, you know, is his team going to be able to get that style again? I just thought there was a lot of the good things we've liked to see about Eddie Howe's team wrapped up in this victory. And they were well deserved of the 3 points. Mm. And I thought really excellent day for the team and the manager, really, who deserves a little bit of credit because, you know, he's sticking by his beliefs, Rob, and he's going to do it his way and he's going to do it the way playing the football he wants to play. And these players look like they're with him in that as well.
Yeah, I just got proved wrong there. This game, I just thought Villa, the way they're playing, they got the best home record in the Premier League. Newcastle have the second worst, you know, given all that, given at Villa Park. They haven't been at Villa Park for almost a month. This is the league, and this is our sport that you just can never tell. Yeah. And Newcastle United, I mean, the manager beforehand, Rob, talked about getting back on track meant he needs their confidence, he needs momentum, and he needs rhythm. And he said, you only get confidence, and I totally agree, by winning games. They've won this game. That's going to help confidence. They're going to get some momentum, and that's probably going to help their rhythm. Mm. So incredible performance and result from Newcastle United that I didn't see coming. You know, I think they went up to eighth place. They've dropped down to seventh, and they've dropped down to eighth right now. But and also the celebrations afterwards with Bruno Guimarães going to the fans.
It is,
if they can get it revved up again this rest of the season, they can have a run. They can have a run and get back into European football
again, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
Yeah, great. It could be like seven places, couldn't it?
Yeah,
it could be down to seven places.
Yeah, because
they're just sitting outside now. They're eighth in the table. But yeah, they can certainly rev it up again, and at St James's Park, they can do that. And I'm not just going to give you my underappreciated form of the week, my friend. And he's a big centre-off, Fabian Schär, who signed for Newcastle about 5.5 years ago. And I don't know if you remember, they paid about $3 to $4 million or something around that number.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Because he had a clause in his contract from Deportivo La Coruña in Spain. I think they got relegated. He had a clause. They bought him for, I say, $3-4 million. And what a buy he's been, mate. It's less than $1 million a year, you'd say, he's cost them.
Yeah.
A brace on the day. Eddie Howe said he's got the ability at times, if we were struggling for a centre-forward, when Isak came off, that he said he could play up front. He's technically that good.
Yep.
He's Swiss international. And the reason why I sort of he's my underappreciated, mate, is that he's one of those players who's totally kind of under the radar, not overly appreciated by anyone who isn't a Newcastle fan. I think Newcastle fans would know how important he's been and his relationship with Bottom, and they love him. But I think outside of that, no one would really talk about him. No one, you know, he's not a big-name player. He's not a headline grabber. But Fabian Schär is a kind of player every manager needs and every manager would want in his teammate. Yeah. And I just thought his two goals and the way he plays and his defending and his attitude and you know, will to win sometimes from the back. It's been a really big important thing. So Fabian Schär, gets my underappreciated form of the week.
I really like it because he's played every single minute. And sometimes at centre-backs, Rob, of all the areas on the field, centre-backs sometimes literally go under the radar because, you know, clever players defensively they're reading stuff. They come across, they intercept balls, they make clever tackles, they don't have to make last-ditch tackles that we all notice and we say, wow, what a performance, because the best defenders don't get in that situation. Yeah. He's excellent in terms of coming out with the ball, with his distribution. He's loved because of that. That's his main asset, I guess, really. He's coming forward and spraying the balls
passing
around.
Range,
and getting a couple of goals like that, being a consistent performer. And I said right at the top about Marcus Rashford, about the importance of trying to be really consistent. And I know there was a big article about Fabian Schär and how the fans absolutely love him, Rob. So it's a good shout to remind everybody that sometimes centre-backs that don't slide challenge or leap and head balls clear can be really important players. And Fabian Schär for Newcastle United really, really is. So I like it. He had a great game, both defensively and, of course, getting a couple of goals. He's up in set pieces. He finishes off really nicely. He's quick to the second goal by reading the play very quickly. So, like it. And Newcastle United, wow. Great performance, one of the best of the weekend, really was.
Talking about things you didn't see coming, my friend, Brighton going to the Kenny, Luton scoring in the first 5 minutes or so, wasn't it? A couple of goals early on, certainly that set the tone
first
of the day, and end up winning 4, could have been 5, and Brighton just not the Brighton we've seen under De Zerbi. I mean, I just couldn't believe that as I was seeing that. I wasn't able to watch a game, so I was seeing the scoreline coming in, and Adebayo with a hat-trick, great for him, coming, you know, from Premier League football, the first time in the Premier League to get a hat-trick. But what a day. What a job Rob Edwards and this group are doing. Moved out of the bottom three with the win, Rob, so jumped above Everton as well. Yeah. I mean, this league. And I've got to be honest, Rob, what I did see, I saw a bit of Luton playing in the FA Cup over the weekend. You know, we had all the games. And I couldn't believe how good football they played, by the way. I think it was Everton they played in the FA Cup.
Right.
A 0-0 draw. But Luton were by far the better team. By far the better team. It was a bit awkward watching that they were passing the ball around Everton and looked had a good shape about them, well set up. They had a bit of threat at the top end. I'm telling you, they've got a shout, mate. They're in with a healthy shout of drawing one or two others back into this, and maybe not being the team that everybody had as the one of those three to go down. So great work by Rob Edwards in that group of players.
That being said about the way they played in the FA Cup, there's still a simplicity about Luton, Rob, that makes them really interesting. Mm-hmm. There's a simplicity about them. Ogbonna, yeah, who scored a goal, he scored the third goal, I think it was. I'm not sure. He scored a goal for them. Mm. He's a wide player. You watch him. Gets it. Swings it in the box. Swings it in the box. No messing around. No little combination play. They get it wide to very much your Wimbledon team, Rob. Goes up to the big striker. Simplify. Yeah. Get it wide. Get in the box. Cross the balls in. It's kind of simple. Adebayo is a handful. Watched him last year in the championship. Him and Morris up front were a good combination. If they keep it simple, they're not trying to play out from the back. They're not trying to do a Burnley. They're not trying to do what everybody else is doing right now. They don't do a lot of that. If it's on, they'll do that. But mostly, it's vertical football. They get it forward, they get it wide, they get it into the box. And just when it looks like every team in the Premier League wants to be a silky team out from the back, it might just be that one team that play it differently and go a little bit. Again, I don't really want to say old school, old fashioned.
Yeah, it's not route one because it's different than that. But I know what you mean.
They're messing around.
But everybody knows what they're doing. Yeah, and they get balls in the box,
it's
mate.
Difficult.
And
it's difficult
to handle. They create chances and they create havoc.
Absolutely right. So well done, Luton Town. I mean, that is going to be a story.
Yeah,
that absolutely. Is. I mean, if they stay in the division, it's hard to get your head around that. It's amazing what Rob Edwards is doing. And improving week in week out.
That'll be manager of the year, by the way. That's manager of the year.
Their budget is probably still not even.
I don't care what Pep's doing.
I know. Yeah. I know. All right, other games, Rob, just quickly, because we're going on forever here. Crystal Palace had a good game.
Yeah.
I mean, those two players, Michael Olise and Abraham Chayeze.
Yeah, those two are different, aren't they? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how long they're going to hold on to those two players,
mate.
But they make that team go from stodgy and average to solid, good shape, and with talent to create and score goals. I mean, those two combined throughout, it was stunning from them. Really great win from them. Sheffield United, a much improvement under Chris Wilder, but Eze and Olise were the difference. Olise scores a winning goal, bends it in with his left foot off the post. Brilliant goals from Eze. Great, great, great. Crystal Palace. West Ham won. We saw that one. Bournemouth today. West Ham.
Yeah, a little Calvin Phillips' little error, wasn't it, on the ball?
Well, he's a little rusty. He looked a little rusty to me, Rob. He looked a little rusty to me.
Yeah,
little,
yeah.
The ball wasn't great.
He take a couple of games, didn't he? He hadn't played for 6 months.
Yeah, of course. And then the VAR. See, that's a good use of VAR. Mo Kudus, who gets clipped as he goes through. Referee doesn't see
penalty.
That's VAR. It's very best to say, oh, hang on, no, there was real contact there. That's a clear and obvious error. Yeah. Nothing subjective about that. And that's what it's there for. And that's what needs to come in. Brilliant. So we bashed VAR. That was a great example of, okay, come over. I mean, it took 2 minutes and 42 seconds, which is long. But, because we see it. We saw me and Tim in the studio. We get the replay. Oh, yeah, there's contact there. That's going to be a penalty. And it just takes a little bit too long. But that's what it's for. Clear and obvious error. Penalty. Ward-Prowse knocks it in. The game ends 1-1. I just wanted to mention that. And the last game, Rob. And you can wrap up whatever you want here. Fulham 0, Everton 0. Bit of a snoozer.
Everton had a chase. Beto had a chase. A great chance later on, didn't he? Big striker.
Yeah,
ball
I didn't
came
see
across. I think he had it onto the bar or something. But could have wrapped up all
and
three
And that was
points,
your midweek
but,
round.
Everton just need to pick up again. Yeah, that was your midweek. Eventful midweek, Premier League games. Top four teams all won. Liverpool sit top of the pile. And Manchester United have a new main man. It's Cobby. He grabbed a late winner at Wolves to give them all 3 points. That's it for this midweek. We'll be back on Sunday. That's February the 4th, which recaps match week 23. There's no doubt the big game. It's Sunday. It's fun day. It's Arsenal versus Liverpool. It's 11 a.m. Eastern time, exclusively streaming on Peacock. So make sure you get there for that big game, a game Arsenal can't afford to lose. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No! My car!"
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.